Very warm welcome to everybody joining today for this joint service of worship with our Christian brothers and sisters at Clunie, Money Musk, Echt, Emmidmar, Blairdaff, Chapel of Geary, Kintore, and Kemnay. And we're delighted to have these wonderful faces with us this morning for our brother and a couple new faces joining us for this particular conversation. So welcome especially to Ian and to Andrew, to this particular brother. But we'll start by checking in with each other and starting first with Sheila Mitchell from Echt, Emmidmar. Good morning, Sheila.
Good morning and good morning, folks. It's good to be joining you, whether you're joining us in the morning here on Sunday or later in the day even. Just a quick update from Echt, Emmidmar. Obviously, this week, government regulations have changed and I think collectively we'll be hearing more about that as the week goes on and into next week. And we're planning this time next week to have a joint update about what our congregations are all doing. But in the meantime, we have a Kirk session meeting next Tuesday, and we'll be discussing how we go forward as a congregation with the various restrictions and actually recommendations from the church, not just about what's required, but what we're being asked to do voluntarily as well in the interim. So that will be quite interesting. So watch this space, I think, this time next week. And also we're looking a wee bit further forward jointly as our parishes. Come late September and into October, we're hoping to have some joint membership classes. So if there are people across our parishes either interested in finding out more or would like to join the church officially, or would even just like to join the conversation and find out some more about the Church of Scotland, then they would be most welcome to join. So we've got more information. There are no firm dates yet, but if anybody's interested, then please drop either me or Neil an email and we can share some information. Thanks, Joshua.
Thank you, Sheila, for that. Appreciate that. Ian from Kintore, a very good morning to you. How are you today?
Hello. Neil's on leave this week and he's asked me to stand in for him. In Kintore, we've obviously moved to 1 meter distancing and no booking for Sunday worship, and that went very smoothly. And now we're faced with some new challenges from next week, both in church and for our hall users. And we're currently working on details of how to restart use of our kitchen in the halls to allow user groups to resume social activities if they wish. We know that nearly everyone would like increased social contact. So it's going to be a real challenge to allow that whilst also having some required COVID controls. But if commercial premises can manage it, surely the church can as well. Our main news this week is that we have a new minister joining us on the 1st of September. He's Tosi Sayamunda, who's coming from Zimbabwe to join the Church of Scotland and will be working in this group during his time as a probationer supervised by Neil. And our first challenge is to welcome him when he arrives in 2 weeks, because he has to spend 10 days in a quarantine hotel. So please remember him in your prayers as he's isolated in his room with all meals left outside the door. Not at all the kind of welcome to Scotland we'd have wished for him. And to make it harder, his wife and children are staying behind in Zimbabwe for the moment. So please pray for them too. And that's our news from Kintore.
Thank you for that, Ian. And we'll certainly keep Tosi and his family in our prayers as he prepares to join you, Kintore. That is quite a challenging transition, to be certain. But so hopefully it will go as smoothly as possible. So thank you for that. Over to our friends at Blairdaff Chapel Geary, represented by our friend Andrew. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. Well, this morning, Sunday, we're having a short service at Chapel of Geary and Blairdaff that Trish and myself are organising. So see somebody there, possibly. But I think our main news is the first service as part of Parish Grouping 3 that was held last Sunday. Sheila took the service and we talked about... we heard about crossing the Red Sea, coming out of Egypt. Didn't feel quite as momentous as that, but nonetheless a landmark event. And it was great to see Donald from Echt, from Socken, and Doc from Money Musk amongst the large congregations. So it was a significant milestone for us. And thank you for doing that for us, Sheila.
Very good. That's a wonderful tangible sign of how that we envision this grouping working together. So that's a very fruitful and hopeful sign. So thank you for sharing that, Andrew. And over to Clooney Money Musk and our friend Ewan. Hello, Ewan. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I've just come back. In fact, this is day one from my holidays, so I'm still a wee bit giggly. So if I blether, don't worry about it. Just ignore what I'm about to say. But two items of news. First is that during August, we will resume our worship in Clooney Church. There'll be no worship in Money Musk. And actually, when I say Clooney Church, it'll be Clooney Church Hall. It's easier to get the people into Clooney Church Hall and cleaning afterwards than it is cleaning the whole church. So the church is left for bigger events. Also, you do not need to book anymore. We have enough seats with the 1 meter distancing. And I suspect Clooney Money Musk will keep the 1 meter distancing apart from funerals for a considerable time. But that's not been decided yet. The second thing is, in Money Musk, this week passed, if anybody saw cherry pickers at the church, there's no problem with the roof. We're just starting our ecological program to try and save the swift population with the construction of swift boxes in the tower. Swifts used to be very popular in and around Money Musk, I believe, before I came here. I don't know if it was me coming here that chased them away, but we're trying to get them back. And so new boxes are being put in the tower. You won't see any difference from the outside. But over the next few weeks, there'll be photographs and videos going up on our Facebook page so people can see the progress. And it was hoped to be done this year for the season, but it's now passed. So next season, there's going to be even sound boxes up in the tower to attract the birds to come to nest in the tower. So that's what if anybody has seen this week, the cherry picker at the side of the church taking out windows and screens, that's all it is. There's nothing to panic. It's a good news story to help the environment. And it's an even better news story because it's all funded by third-party charities. And so it's not costing the church anything. But it's good that we're able to be involved with this event to save the swifts in and around Money Musk. And later in a minute or two, I'll be preaching, going off script a wee bit in terms of following the lectionary, in that I'm looking at the prophet Habakkuk. And Habakkuk is asking the question, how long, Lord, must I call for help? And many of us have been thinking that over the last 18 months during this time. And I'll be trying to address the words 2,500 years ago, how they impact on us, to finish with him saying that in all circumstances, he will praise God. So that's a wee heads up for what's coming. I'll probably hopefully say it better later on than I have just now. But thank you.
Thanks, Ewan, for that good update. Very much appreciated. Just a couple quick updates from here in Kemnay. We have started a lunch club that at the church center, which meets every Tuesday and Thursday from 12 until 2 p.m. And if folks would like to volunteer, this is aimed at more needy and vulnerable members of our community. And if there are volunteers from across our parish grouping who would like to be involved in that, please be in touch with me or with Irene Reed at irenereed@kenbayparish.church for more information. We're also running a bereavement group, which meets every Wednesday for the time being from 10 until 12 p.m. every Wednesday downstairs at the church center as well. And there's a special focus in that bereavement group on those who have experienced a loss during the pandemic. But of course, if anyone's experienced a loss before the pandemic and is still in need of support and care, very welcome to come along as well. And I think we're recording this on a Wednesday, and tomorrow is for Kemnay, our first in-person meeting of Kirk session, which we're excited about. And as we haven't yet had the meeting, I imagine we will have a discussion of our own about policies going forward about seating and distancing in the church as well. So more information to come from Kemnay on that front as well. But it's good to hear from everybody this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and let us worship God together.
Today's call to worship is Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Bible reading today comes from Habakkuk, from chapters 1 and 3. This is the message that the prophet Habakkuk received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Violence is everywhere, I cry, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed, and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice has become perverted. And from chapter 3, I tremble inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren. Even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. Thanks be to God for the reading from his word.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. My sleep pattern over many weeks has been disturbed, which is probably why I'm not looking as lively as I often can be on video and why I've got bags under my eyes. Or maybe I'm just getting old. But one night, before I went off on holiday, at about 3 o'clock in the morning, when unable to sleep, I started to think about this time that we're living through. I began to wonder, perhaps as you do, in the middle of the night or some other times, whether we would ever be able to look back on this time, or whether how we live our lives now are going to be as it is for the rest of them. Cheery stuff, you must be thinking. What a depressing way to start any sermon. It was a bit gloomy, my mood, back then. And I began to ask God, why are we having to suffer like this? Why have you allowed this death, this sadness, this hurt all over the world? Excuse me. Why has my life turned upside down? Mind you, less than a minute after my moan, I came to realise that I have nothing really to moan about. I've kept my job. I have kept my health. I have not that many hassles, considering the tragedy that's hit so many people around the world. Now, I'm not listening that in this country it's not been as bad, because almost 130,000 people have lost their lives, and many more millions have had their lives turned really upside down. I was simply reminding myself that compared to many, my life was good, even under the restrictions that we live in. That being said, I do wonder at times about the deep questions of life and death and of faith. Now, I know that might surprise you, especially those who know me, that I actually think about deep things. But it does happen occasionally. Why, God, do you let such things happen? No matter what the things are. This is usually followed by a question, if you are God, then... And I fill in the dots depending on the circumstances. And all of that leads to guilt. You know, I think to myself, you shouldn't be asking these questions. You shouldn't be saying these things. You're a minister of the Church of Scotland. But folks, you who know me, and you, those of you who are coming to know me, must recognise first, as I do, that I'm a man, an ordinary bloke, not a holy person. I have everyday questions, fears and doubts. And I'm only second as a minister after I'm a man. And as a minister, I still have these same fears and doubts and questions. It's part of me. And I suspect it's part of you too. Around 2,500 years or so ago, a man of faith found himself bemused by the world surrounding him, and wondered why God was allowing it to be that way. He penned the words of a lament, a form of preaching where the author pours out his concerns to God, and by the end of the lament has come to put his trust in God. That's, of course, a very simple definition of a lament, but it will do for the purpose this morning. So 2,500 or more years ago, a man by the name of Habakkuk, at least that's how I'm pronouncing it, is full of concern for the world he is living in, and he expresses it to God. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. How many of us in difficult times have asked the same question to God, how long? And you put in your own concern. I've prayed for something to happen and it didn't. I've watched horrors of world situations of which I've prayed for and still atrocities follow. I've seen people I care for suffer or be frightful, and I have asked God, for how long? Maybe you too have done that as well. Or maybe it's just me with not a strong enough faith. My faith is built at times on a shifting rock. Well, it's not the rock that shifts. It's me standing balancing on top of it. Where, like the prophet of old, I say, how long, Lord? I read a commentary in preparing for the sermon, which told me that this book is about having faith, even when you don't understand, even when you don't see the whole picture. And that's so right. That is why I cry out, how long, Lord? Because I cannot see the entire picture. I can't understand fully or even partially God's plan for the world. For to do that, I would need to be God. And as I've said a minute or two ago, I'm just a man, and perhaps not the best of them. So what is it the prophet's telling me? And is it laid out in any way to help me explore his word? You know, unlike the other prophets who addressed situations in Judah or Israel or Nineveh, such as Jonah did, this doesn't address any specific concern. It's a conversation between God and the prophet. And I love the fact that it's written that way. How long, God, says the prophet, outlining his concerns. And then God answers. Now, scholars have debated whether this book is a series of fragments with not one hand writing it, as it were. But to me, I'm happy just to read it as the words that's contained therein. And Habakkuk asks the question of God, how long? And it's a bit like the prayer that we feel that has not been answered. But Habakkuk gets an answer. And that's in the next few verses of the prophecy. And in that answer, we find out what we really should have known, but was hidden because of circumstances. That God does see the concerns that Habakkuk has raised. God is aware of it. And God is going to do something about it. But it's not what Habakkuk was expecting. He wanted God to turn people's hearts back to him. He wants the people and the society and the culture around him to return to a godly and morally upright way of living. And what does God say? He more or less says, no, I'm not bringing restoration this time. I'm going to bring judgment. You're right, Habakkuk, it's gone on long enough. And it's detestable to me because the Bible says the Lord is angry at sin every single moment. So I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to bring the Babylonians as an instrument of my judgment upon Israel. Wow, if Habakkuk had worries at the start, this answer has floored him. Not how long, Lord, but how could you? How could you use evil people and an empire to achieve your ends? This is surely wrong. These people, they treat others like animals and worship other gods. How can you use them? And in response to the question, God responds first with a phrase perhaps some will know. To Habakkuk, God says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faithfulness. Is God not saying to Habakkuk, look, I'm in control, and a day is coming, a day of judgment against those people, and they will fall, even though they're all puffed up, to use that biblical phrase. But it is the faithful who will live. And then to emphasize this, he goes on to explore a series of five woes or criticisms about the way people live their lives. The woes are addressed to all, to the concerns of Habakkuk's day. But perhaps we could change them to suit our day as well. And I know some people have, but I will leave that to you if you want to. I always fear doing that. We become too judgmental and find faults in those who are different to us and think that we are doing God's will and God's work. Habakkuk heard and understood the woes, and so should we. Five of them. I've simplified them here. Woe against those who pile up wealth from extortion or stealing. Woe to those who build an empire on ill-gotten gains. Woe to those who build cities on bloodshed of others. Woe to those who drink too much and don't have the restraints of the flesh. Woe to those who worship man-made idols. These people, God says, will fall. He will use them in his task, but they will fall, for the day is coming when all will be judged. So God is going to act. It's not the way Habakkuk thought it would be. And the truth is, Habakkuk doesn't really know how to handle that. A violent empire being an instrument of God. He doesn't know what to do about it. But he knows God. And he knows God is good. And if God is doing something, even when you don't expect him to do it, it's good and it's right. And better than anything you could think of. So ultimately, Habakkuk is going to have faith. He doesn't understand everything his heavenly Father is doing or going to do, but he trusts him. He knows that God loves and cares for him. And that leads to the final part of the prophecy, more a prayer offered up by the prophet. You can't understand the way of God, but in God's answer, he has found satisfaction. His doubts have been turned to faith. We know this in that passage, that even in dark times, we must trust God. For this is what he said. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I waited patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food. Though there are no sheep in the sheepfold, and no cattle in the stalls. This is the important bit, folks. After all that, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. I began by saying I have doubts and fears, and I have challenged God, how long? Or how could you? As I've often said in church, doubts and fears are not sin. God doesn't punish us for them if we can still in the midst of them hold to our faith in him. You and I know that it's hard at times. At the end of this prophecy, Habakkuk can see even a wasteland that he describes, and yet he still trusts God. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. Sometimes it takes me days or weeks, and yes, once or twice even months, to get back to depending upon the circumstances in my life to give thanks that in the darkness Christ's light shines. And even in these dark days, which perplexed me in the middle of the night some weeks ago, God still shines, a light of love, which shows up to me, hope, and enables trust. The question for all of us this morning is, can you trust him, even when you don't understand? Can you lean on him and rest on him? Or are you trying to get ahead of him and work it all out yourself and make it happen the way you should think it would happen? Folks, it's better to trust him to listen to him, to obey him, and then you praise him. Amen.
Let us pray. God of every generation, we acknowledge our appreciation of your providence, of your hand in our lives. You feed us in ways only we might imagine. You sustain us when we're at our lowest. You come to us in the cloud, ever present and ever attentive to our needs and to our struggles. For this, we offer our thanks. God of love and freedom, of hope and joy, we make our prayer for others. We pray for the people who yearn for love, for a place in the world, for acceptance of who they are, for a show of kindness, for liberation from their past. All the people, for whatever reason, who long to embrace a different future. We pray for people who yearn for freedom, freedom of expression, freedom of belief, freedom from movement, freedom from censorship. The people in the world and here in our communities who long for greater autonomy and justice. We pray for the people who yearn for hope, who are seeking something to hold on to in the face of so much uncertainty, the people who feel undermined or ignored or left behind, the people whose faith feels vulnerable or who are desperate to see signs of change, new cause for optimism in their circumstances. And we pray for the people who yearn for joy, joy in their living, joy in their working, joy in their relationships, joy in their faith. The people who sense that life could be so much the richer and who are reaching out in different ways to God and to us. Holy One, your love is unconditional and infinite. You love each of us infinitely and eternally. Enfold us into your embrace, assure us of your love, and hear the prayers we offer, for we make them in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say together,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You need
Go now in peace. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and forevermore. Amen.